Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 for our scripture lesson for the day. It's found on page 219 of your pew Bibles. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now would you bow your heads and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures now and this time to share my testimony. Amen. So as I look back, one of my favorite things I remember about elementary school was recess. I loved recess. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel Catholic Elementary School, and during recess, my friends and I, we played football. I mean, every single day, no matter what, and regardless of the season and weather, we played football. And so we'd go out on the playground with our jackets, and usually we had one of the famous quarterbacks' name on it, like Terry Bradshaw or Fran Tarkington. You know, those quarterbacks who are probably older now. And I just remember we thought we were just intense, and we thought we were pros, except for this fact. Because we didn't have grass, we had asphalt that we would play on the playground with. The only football that we could play would be two-hand touch. And so in order to get somebody down, we were supposed to touch them with two-hand touch. But who cared? It was awesome. And so just a quick side note. At Our Lady of Mount Carmel School, if you got in trouble during recess, you had to immediately go inside. But the worst part of it all was that you had your name written in the book. And I'm not sure why that was, but it just was. And not even sure what the book was. But I know that nobody wanted their name in the book. I mean, I thought maybe it was Satan's book. But didn't know. So one day when I was in the fifth grade, I mean, up until this point, I got in no trouble, and my name was never in the book. And as I was playing defense, I was covering the guy like a blanket. I mean, I was all over him, and yet somehow he caught the ball. But I was going to touch him, and something happened when we kind of collided with one another. Our legs got entangled, and he tripped, and he fell, and he scraped his knees. And I mean, he went down, and then he ended up crying and crying so badly that the teacher kind of came over, and I was trying to convince him to just be quiet, be quiet. And I just remember she asked what happened, and he just pointed to me. And she immediately said, John, go inside, and your name is being written in the book. Now, this was Sister Perpetua was her name. She was supposed to live perpetually, and I think maybe she had been. But she said that to me, go, your name is being written in the book. And I remember being so mad. I was so upset at this kid for doing this to me. I mean, why couldn't he just look past? You're a crybaby. But once again, I went inside and my name was written in the book. And it was just this big black ledger kind of book. It's probably still there. How many years later? Don't know what it was there for. But once again, I want to tell you, I loved playing football at recess. That is except for one specific part. You see, each day, before we actually started playing, we first had to pick teams. And so the two best players were always the captains and were always the quarterbacks, which at Our Lady of Mount Carmel School usually was Mark DiPasquale and Paolo Zucco. How I remember those names. But they were the captains, and they'd start choosing one person at a time who they wanted on their team. And you know, as a fifth grader, and back in those days, you remember what they call husky pants? I was in husky pants. And I would say that I was a little awkward and probably not the best runner or player, but there was nothing worse than waiting to be chosen. I mean, as I stood there, I wondered, was I good enough? Was I wanted? Did I play good the day before? And did they want me on their team? And would I be picked second or would I be picked last? And each day, my worth and my identity hung in the balance because there was nothing worse than just waiting and wondering, would I be chosen or not? And today I want to start off by asking, have you ever felt like this when it comes to life? Have you ever just wondered if you're really wanted and if someone would choose you? And you ever questioned your worth? Have you ever wrestled with your identity and who you are? And each day, does it seem to change? Maybe based on your relationship status or how you're looking in the mirror that day, how many people like you, how you feel about that self in any given moment. And I don't know about anyone else, but this kind of can be the story of our lives. But when it comes to life, have you ever wondered if someone would want to choose you? But one step further, have you ever felt this way when it comes to God? Have you ever wondered if God would want to choose you? And have you ever felt like maybe you were not good enough for him? Have you ever questioned if God loves you, if he wanted anything to do with you? Have you ever wrestled with who you are? And when it comes to God, have you ever wondered if he would want to choose you? Now, today we're starting our series called Chosen. These next few weeks, we're going to be talking about our identity and why we're here on this earth. But at the core of this series, we're going to talk about who we are. And to do so, we're going to look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a book found in the New Testament of the Bible towards the end. And it's actually a letter written by a guy named Peter. Now, Peter is the guy who denied Jesus three times and then the rooster crowed. So Peter is writing this letter for a group of newer Christians. And over through the letter, the main thing that Peter is doing is reminding them of their identity and who they are. Over and over again, he's just reminding of them who they are. So sermon note number one. And here are the two specific verses we're going to focus on. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 through 10. It says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And listen to this. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. This is great stuff. Peter is reminding them of who they are. And for today, this passage, we're going to keep things really simple and just highlight two simple truths. The first one is this. The first truth is that God picks us. He's not stuck with us. Peter said, "You are a chosen people. You are chosen by God himself." And the word chosen here translates from the Greek into the meaning of being picked out. God picks us. He's not stuck with us. Now, going back to recess, we'd have captains, as I said, and they'd start one by one picking and choosing who they wanted on their team. And as I said, every day it made me really nervous. Would they pick me? And would they want me? Am I good enough? Am I fast enough? Am I good enough at catching? And usually I was kind of picked somewhere in the middle, but I always felt horrible for that last one or two kids. Because when it got to the end, instead of picking and actually wanting somebody on your team, you would see the captains discussing who they had to take and who they were stuck with. And for those last kids, it had to hurt. So switching back to us, this is the same way that we feel in life as a whole. Sometimes we can feel unwanted or overlooked. And this happens because of a myriad of things that could be going on in our lives. And so we kind of can have these doubts about who we are. And are we successful? And are we living a life that maybe God would call worthy? Or are we just hiding? And with God, I think maybe sometimes I've just made too many mistakes, or I've been broken. Not perfect enough, maybe. Maybe not religious enough. I remember when I had my open heart surgery, I was in my young 30s. And all of a sudden, you know, my career as a teacher and as a pastor, getting into that career, all of a sudden, that came to a screeching halt. And part of my rehabilitation was that I was supposed to be down for about 9 months. And that was a time that was a real struggle for me, because I'm kind of a go-getter. And my identity was kind of into my students, my program, and my church. And all of a sudden, there I was, maybe 2 weeks out of surgery, standing at home in the mirror and looking at myself. And feeling so bad, like, who would choose me in the state that I'm in? I can't even go back to school. I can't even go back to church. I'm kind of out here on this island. And to me, that was a defining moment, because that's when I had to lean on the scriptures, and I had to lean on the things that we have learned in the Bible about being chosen. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 said this: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I set you apart, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Or in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament: "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and out of all the peoples on earth, the Lord has chosen you." And so I had to kind of redefine maybe who I was and where I was going and my self-worth. And I realized that having gone through that experience, that as 1 Peter says, that you know, as a result of this, you can show the goodness of God for those he called you out of darkness. And it was during that time when I found that God chose me, I was able to redirect my life and focus on a career in the ministry that would be something that I never had imagined. But back to this honest truth, God picks us. He's not stuck with us. And even further, he not only picks us, he seeks us, he pursues us. And speaking of enough, he loves us that he was willing to die for us. One more time, God picks us. He's not stuck with us. And he invites us and he says, come and follow me. Who are we? We are chosen by God. That's who we are. God picks us. He's not stuck with us. And that's the first truth from these verses. Now, number two, here's the second thing. It's really simple. The basic truth is that we are his, not our own. Peter told us, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation. You are God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into a wonderful light. And he reminds us that once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people. You're God's very own possession. We are his, not our own. What does this mean? Well, it means that everything we have and everything we are comes from him. It's all his. And so with our career and our position and our talents, it's all his. And that's why we should constantly ask, God, how can I use this for you? It doesn't matter what the situation is. Maybe that needs to be our mantra. God, how can I use this for you? Maybe this is the kind of sentence that we need when we go into meetings in the church or church council, or maybe as we are trying to reach out to our community. God, how can I use this for you? And with our money and things we own, and, you know, as we're making decisions about those kind of things, maybe we need to just make that be the priority in our lives. And that's why the moment we start following Jesus, we surrender our lives and declare, Lord, here's my life. Take it. It's all yours. I want to follow you. And that's where maybe tithing comes in, or giving back and using what we have, not for ourselves, but for his kingdom. And with our decisions and our priorities with our lives as a whole, it's all his. And that's why the moment we start following Jesus, we not only surrender our lives, we declare that, Lord, here's my life. As we sang in that second hymn today, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. Peter told us that once we had no identity, but now we're God's people, including our identity, our worth, our purpose on this earth, and it all comes from him. But the problem is sometimes we believe the lies that come from our human part of this earth, and we're convinced otherwise, that maybe our identity and maybe our self-esteem and our self-worth comes from maybe the car that we drive, or maybe the house that we live in, or maybe it's the money that we have in our bank or stocks, or maybe do we have a position in the church, or do we have a position on the board, or even better, do we have influence other people? Do people look up to us? Do we control things? And we're told that God chose us and that we are his. And so what does that say about us? Well, we're told that we were created in his very image, and he declared that we are good. Okay, so go back to Genesis when God created man in his very own image. And when he created man, he said, this is good. When he created everything in the earth in Genesis, he always said, this is good. And so he loved us. And he sent Jesus for us. Go back to John 3:16. And God so loved the world, he gave his only son that we might not perish. God chose us, and we are chosen, by God. Now that's wonderful stuff, right? Right? And this week I keep thinking about how our lives and everything about us would drastically change if we just knew in our hearts two simple truths. That God picks us and that we are His. And so maybe instead of constantly running and striving different ways, if we knew whose we are, the truth is this, very important. We'll never know who we are if we don't know first whose we are. Let's say that again. We'll never know who we are if we don't know first whose we are. These two truths are simple. And yet, similar to what we just said, everything around us can constantly try to convince us otherwise. Everything around us can convince us that maybe our identity is not enough. Being good enough, maybe pretty enough, whatever. And the world of everything around us is just trying to tell us that everything and everywhere is our own choosing, not God's. But yet we go back to 1 Peter, and he writes this letter to new Christians. Now it's kind of interesting because when he says, you are a chosen people, you are royal priests. It's pretty strong language for new Christians. What does that mean, royal priests? If there was ever a time that someone might be tempted to walk away God, it was then when 1 Peter was writing that letter to new Christians, because they were being persecuted. They were being tortured. They were being killed. And that's why Peter's writing this letter, to remind them, this is who you are, and you're chosen by God. And I know I need to be constantly reminded of these truths myself, but I think that as we go forward, this needs to be the thing that not only we espouse to, but maybe the thing that we're supposed to show other people. Because the scripture says this, and he called us out of darkness into wonderful light. Once you had no identity as people, now you are God's people. And just to be clear, it's our last sermon point, that choosing Jesus is a daily decision. That's the initial time. There's initial time maybe when we surrender to God and everything is new. But really deciding to choose Him is a daily decision. And Jesus today says, I want you to find my worth in you. And Jesus today, everything I have and everything I am is yours. Friday was just kind of an interesting day for me at my private practice. I had back-to-back people, and it seemed like people were coming in with the same issue, an identity issue, maybe a self-worth issue, a self-esteem issue. And these are good people, maybe, who were raised in church and all of a sudden, because of life and because of circumstances, found themselves not being able to feel the presence of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I espouse to is that sometimes we need to find those people. We need to surround them. And you know, what I do in an hour with them is one thing. But then as they leave, I pray that maybe that they would go and be found by a community of believers, a church family, that they can come in and worship and know that they're chosen by God and that we're His and we are precious in His sight. And so today as we go forward, remember, we need to make a daily decision to follow Jesus. And I think if you really think about your days and the different things that can happen during the day, it is a daily decision. And so today, I pray, Jesus, help me to find my worth, my purpose, my identity in you alone, because I am yours, not my own. Yes, I remember those days of being chosen. I remember that anxiety maybe of waiting to hear my name called. And now, because I am a child of God, I know that there's a confidence that I can have as I choose Him daily. And so my prayers for you, my brothers and sisters, is that you leave here today knowing, number one, that God loves you, that God sent His only Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we may have eternal life. As Isaiah said, "You now are my witnesses, says the Lord. You're the servants whom I've chosen that you may know and believe that I am He." We have a loving God, and He's right here today. And He's got His arms ready to wrap around us. We need to make that decision. Have you decided? Have I decided this day, this morning, to follow Jesus? Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for the Scripture. We thank You, Lord, for these letters. Not only were they pertinent to those people in the time of 1 Peter, but for us. And as we continue on in this sermon series, Lord, may we know the beauty and the bounty of what You have given for us and how much You love us. But Lord, we want to take this serious because You say this in the Scripture. Peter said, as a result, we can show others the goodness of God. We can show others that He called us out of darkness into light, and that You gave us an identity as Your people. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.